Are you afraid to try new things and only wish you could really do something about it? Well, I guess we all have to some extent, but our next guest, Amber Carlins, may be able to convince all of us that we should go ahead and face our fears of the unknown. She had plenty of fears herself, but she wasn't going out and facing them until one day her mom looked at her in the eyes and directly said, "Amber, you're leading a small life." Amber listened, and now, less than 2 years later, I hold in my hand the book that Amber wrote entitled My Year of Living Fearlessly, in which she describes her 52 weeks of challenges, all in an attempt to overcome her fears of trying new things. Welcome to Ripley Radio, Amber.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So you're quite the lady. You felt that you needed some challenges, and you found 52 of them, huh?
I definitely needed some challenges, and I think the fact that I could come up with 52 of them speaks to just how much I needed that.
How long did it take you?
It took me a year to complete all of the challenges, and as far as coming up with them, I had a list of about 30 from the beginning, and then I took some suggestions from other people, from friends, from people that I met during the project, and just sort of pieced it together as I went for the remaining 22 items.
So how did you react when your mom told you that? Did you think you were living small?
I hadn't thought of it that way. I got caught up in life. I went to graduate school. I was working all the time, and I just stopped pushing myself. I stopped taking the time to force myself to try new things and to face my fears, and I just got sort of lazy, and it happened, you know, over a long period of time, so it was sort of subtle and insidious. I just didn't realize that it had happened, and when she said that, it was just an absolute, you know, it hit me like a ton of bricks. I hadn't seen it coming, but once she said it, I couldn't stop seeing it, and I knew she was right, and I knew that that wasn't what she wanted for me, and it wasn't what I wanted for myself, so I knew I had to make a change.
Okay, so you're, what, 25 years old, right?
Yes, sir.
And you're an actress and a voiceover person. What do you do in real life?
I teach musical theater, and I also teach writing for an online university.
Last week, we talked to the great Sindini. In fact, that's how I found out about you. And she was telling us how she worked with you on, I guess, four different sideshow arts. Explain that a little bit to us and why you chose those particular items that you needed her coaching.
We actually did five things, and the first one was knife throwing. And that started because I love to cook, but I hate using knives. I'm very clumsy in everyday life, so I just feel like the odds of me accidentally cutting off a finger are very high. So I've been cooking, you know, I was 24 at the time, and I was still using butter knives for all of my kitchen, you know, needs. And I thought, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous. This is definitely something I should face, my fear of knives. And I thought about taking just a regular knife course at a local cooking school, but I thought knife throwing would be so much more fun and far more interesting. You know, that's the kind of story you want to tell. And that, I think, is really smart when you're facing your fears, to try to create a memory and an experience, because it does make it more exciting. Since she was so wonderful, and I had such a fantastic time, and she really seemed to enjoy it. So afterwards, she said, you know, I have a couple of ideas for things you could do. And I said, okay, here's my rules. I will do anything that won't result in my death, dismemberment, or disfigurement. As long as we can keep those things off the table, I'm on board for whatever you suggest. So she came up with fire twirling, sort of like that Polynesian dance where you twirl fire, as well as fire eating and escaping from a straitjacket and walking on broken glass while balancing a sword on my head.
And you did them all.
I did indeed.
Magnify that times, what, 10, I guess, because you did 52 during the year. What one thing do you think taught you the most about yourself?
I'd have to go with stand-up comedy. I did a stand-up comedy competition, and people find this very strange because I'm an actress. They just assume that, you know, speaking in front of a crowd is never an intimidating thing. But for me, I've always been terrified of public speaking if I was speaking as myself, so much so that even giving a presentation in a class of 8 people just scares me to death. People used to joke that they could see my bangs swinging back and forth whenever I'd have to speak because I was shaking so badly. And so I thought the scariest thing I could possibly think of would be doing stand-up comedy, because then not only do you have to speak in front of people, but you have to be funny. That just seemed terrifying to me, being funny on command. So I found this comedy club in Tampa where I live, and I went and did an open mic night. And I expected it to be just a complete disaster, you know, 6 minutes of just crickets in the audience. it went so well that I was not only, you know, complimented by the guy who runs the club, but I was asked to come back and compete in a competition for stand-up comedians. And I wound up winning the whole competition, which was the last thing in the world I ever thought was possible. And it taught me a lot that the limits that we think exist are really just limits in our own mind. You know, the things I think I can't do, I may very well be perfectly capable of. I've just been limiting myself. And that when I take off those limits, there's, you know, a multitude of things that I'm capable of that I never would have imagined. So it really taught me a lot about taking chances and not being afraid to put myself out there and not limiting myself.
And that's a new career path for you.
It certainly could be. I'm actually going to be competing in their finals in about 3 weeks. It was mind-blowing to me, the walking on glass. People always ask me, you know, what's the trick? Is it fake glass? Is it all these different things? And I just have to tell them it's really just a matter of telling yourself that you can. You know, I mean, there's some things you can do to try to make yourself just a little safer, but it's real glass, and you're walking on real glass. And I still have trouble believing that I did this and that my feet were fine. But it is. It's just a matter of readjusting your own perceptions.
And it was mind over matter for the full 52 weeks for you?
Oh, yes, in a very big way.
Is this your first book?
This is my first book.
I loved your writing style, too. It wasn't in the past. It was like you were doing. It was like immediate, like your trip to Casadega when you had your fortune read. And the way you were observing people and the things around you. I mean, it was almost like I was standing there with you looking at this stuff. It was really cool.
Oh, thank you. And that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted people to read it and feel like they were on the journey with me, like they were right there in the moment.
Okay, now, Amber, let me ask you that one very important question here.
Okay.
What does your mother think of this? She's a reason behind it.
She's very proud. She's over the moon. And she was so funny because you would expect, like, a normal mom, you know, if your kid is eating fire or walking on glass, to be freaking out. And my mom was like, could you hold that pose, honey? The lighting's not quite right.
How can people find out more about you, and where can they get your book?
Well, the book is available in selected stores, but it's also available online at barnesandnobles.com, amazon.com. And you can find out more about the book by visiting my website at myyearoflivingfearlessly.com.
Amber Carlins, thank you very much for becoming part of Ripley History and being on Ripley Radio.